Okay, today's daf is Midos Daf Lamed Vav. Today's shir is sponsored by the Herskowitz and Apton families, Le'ilu Nishmas, the yard site of Jeremy's grandmother, Renee Herskowitz, Rachel Leah Bas Nachman Tzvi, Allah Shalom, the Nisham Shev and Aliyah. We thank the Herskowitz and Apton families very much for the sponsorship. It's also sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. And we again thank Dr. Landerer for his continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi. So we're holding a Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph at the top. We're at Mishnah Beis, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Beis of Maseches Midos. And we're going to continue to just describe what the Beis HaMikdash looked like. So we already began to describe the Mizbeach in Mishnah Aleph. We're going to continue with the description of the Mizbeach HaChitzon and the Azara and the Kiyor and the Ulam and the steps that you would go up to the Ulam with, and then that will conclude the parak, and then Be'ez Hashem will begin on Amud Beis, the fourth parak, which is going to discuss how the Heichal looked, the walls of the Heichal, the doors of the Heichal, everything in that that surrounded the Heichal. So that Be'ez Hashem will be Parak Dalit. So let's begin Mishnah Beis on the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Ubekeren Ma'aravis Dromis on the southwestern side of the Yesod of the Mizbeach, Hayu Shnei Nekavim. There were two holes, Kamin Shnei Chot Mendakim, like two small nostrils. Shadam Manitanin Al Yesod Ma'aravi, that all the blood that would be put on the Yesod Ma'aravi, on the western Yesod of the Mizbeach, Val Yesod Dromi, and the blood of all other Karbanos, by the Chatos HaPnimios, they would put the blood on the Yesod Ma'aravi. By all other Karbanos, Al Yesod Dromi, on the Yesod Dromi, on the southern Yesod, so Yordan Behen, it would go through them to the floor of the Azara, Umisarvin Ba'ama, and then it would mix in with the Amas HaMayim that passed through the Azara, V'yotzen the Nachal Kidron, and that way it would go out together with the water to Nachal Kidron, and after it was Yotzen the Nachal Kidron, the Gizbarim would sell it to Gananim, to gardeners, in order to use for fertilizer for their fields. That's all explicit in a Mishnah Maseches Yuma. Now, by all Karbanos, the Shiari Adam that remained after you did all of your Matnos Dam that you needed for the Karban, were Nishbach to the Yesod HaMizbeach. It's just that. So that's the blood that we're talking about over here that went into these Chotmos Dakin. It's just that the Chatos HaPnimios, where you were Mazed the Dam inside the Heichal, you'd pour it into the Yesod on the western side of the Mizbeach, because it says you Shafech Lisod Mizbeach Ola Asher Pesach Oel Moed, the Pasuk says. That you have to pour the Shiari Adam in the Yesod Mizbeach that you get to first as soon as you leave the Oel Moed. And that's the Yesod Ma'aravi. That's the first one you would encounter. Whereas the Dam of other Kabanos, they would pour into the southern Yesod, because the Gemara in Zvachim learns a comparison. The Gemara tells us in Zvachim Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph that we learn the idea of coming down from the Kevesh by other Kabanos from leaving the Heichal by the Chatos HaPnimios. That just like by the Chatos HaPnimios, when you leave the Heichal, you pour the Shirayim into the first part of the Yesod that you encounter, so to when you come down the Kevesh, you'd pour into the first part of the Yesod that you encounter. It just happens to be that translates into the Yesod Dromi when it comes to coming down the Kevesh, and the Yesod Ma'aravi when it comes to coming out of the Heichal. Mishnah Gimel, Lemata Baritzpa Ba'osa Keren, on the bottom, on the floor, on the floor of the Azara, right next to the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, Makom Ha'isham Amma Al Amma. There was an Amma by Amma cut out in the ground, dug into the ground, Vitavla Shal Shayish, and there was a marble tile, Vitabasa Kavuaba, with a ring on top of it, like a handle, Shabo Yardin Lashis. And then it was through that cutout that you would be able to go to the hollow area under the Mizbeach, where all of the Nesachim that were poured through, all the Yayin of the Nesachim, would end up in that area, in that hollow area under the Mizbeach. So every once in a while, they'd have to go into that area, Umenakin Oso, and they would have to clean it out from all the Yenos, from all the Nesachim, all the wine of all the Nesachim that they've had over the years. That's a Gemara also that appears in the end of Maseches Sukkah, and Daf Mem Tasa Mer Aleph. The Gemara there tells us a little more detail, that Achas L'Shivim Shana, that this was was something that was done once every 70 years. The Pirchei Kuhuna would go down and would pull out all the Yayin Karush, all the congealed wine, which at that point looked like Igule Dvela. It looked like fig cakes. It was so thickly congealed wine, and then they would burn it in the Azara. And Rashi over there explains that the reason they cleaned it out was so that the Shisin should not be so filled with the wine of the Nesachim. So clearly the Tana of the Mishnah assumes that these Shisin were not Yored Al Atahom, that they didn't go down all the way to the core of the earth, and therefore they needed to be cleaned out because it would build up over time. The Chachamim in Masechta Sukkah over there held that the Shisim were there from the Sheshes Yimei Bereishis. There's our Daf Yomi coincidence, that the Shisim were there right between Sukkot and Bereishis, that the Shisim were there in, from Sheshes Yimei Bereishis, and they went all the way out to home. So our Mishnah is assuming not that way. Our Mishnah is assuming, like the other Shita in Masechta Sukkah, that once every 70 years they would have to go to clean it out. Once every 70 years, not so clear that it means necessarily once every 70 years. Sometimes Chazal will use the expression of 70 years to mean like once in a very long time, once in a lifetime, because you make shnosav shel adam yeshivim shana. So very often they'll use that terminology of every 70 years when they mean something that just didn't happen very frequently, something that was a once in a lifetime event. That's what they describe, how Chazal describe how the chilazon would wash ashore once every 70 years. Likely doesn't mean comet-like rise of the of the chilazon. It means that it happened once every long while that such an event would take place. Okay, so they would go down and they would clean it. The kevet show you the dromosh mizbech. Now, continuing the description of the mizbech had a ramp on its southern wall, on its southern side. Shloshim u'shtayim al rochav sheshesrei, and the ramp was 32 amos by 16 amos. Now, when we say that the ramp was 32 amos, it does not mean that if you walked the ramp up its slope that you walked 32 amos. That was actually longer than 32 amos. It means measuring from the floor, it was 32 amos. So it's the ramp is a triangle that produces a right angle. So on the floor from where the ramp starts to where the ramp ends is 32 amos. Mm-hmm. Except not really, because it on the floor it stops 2 amos short, because it then has to go over the Yisod and over the Sovev to reach you to the top of the Mizbeach. So the Yisod and the Sovev sort of take over at the bottom, even though there was no really Yisod on that side of the Mizbeach, but it would still be 2 amos further. But nevertheless, it means that that from one end to the other on along the floor, it would be 32 amos and 16 amos wide. Now there's another dimension that's missing from the ramp. Right, you need 3 dimensions. It's how high was it? That it doesn't say. So the Rambam in the second paragraph of Hilchos Beis Bechira, it's really obvious, but the Rambam just points out that the height of the ramp was just under 9 amos, because the height of the Mizbeach to the point where the ramp got you, the ramp didn't bring you to the top of the Kronos of Mizbeach, it just got you to the flat top of the Mizbeach, and the Kronos were an extra amma. But you had 1 amma of Yisod, 5 amos of Soviv, and then another 3 amos, so that's 9 amos. But the 1 amma of Yisod was an amma bas chamisha tvachim, and the rest of the ammas were an amma bas shisha tvachim. So when we use the term amma, it means different things in different places. So it was really 9 amos minus a tefach. That was the height of the ramp. It was 9 amos minus a tefach. So this ramp was 32 amos long by 16 amos wide. Uruvuva Haisalobim Aravo, and on its western side it had a little window, a little cubby cut out inside the ramp. And all the chatos of that had a psula guf, they would put into that little cubby until it stayed there overnight, and then it became pasul mishum dosar anyway, and then it would be yotze lebeis hasreifa at that point. The Tiferes Yisrael explains why dafka of all things that the chatos of gets its own little cubby when it's pasul in order to have a psulina. So he says that they were masaki in a special place for the psuli chatos of more so than any other karbanos, because the karbanos that Yoledes brings are 2 ofos, one liola, one lechatas, and there were lots of those in the Azara. The Jewish people have lots and lots of babies. So there was the busiest hospital in terms of the maternity ward probably in the world is Shaarei Tzedek Hospital. The Jewish people have lots and lots and lots of babies. So there were lots of karbanos that were going on, lots of karbanos of Yoledes, echol liola ve'echol lechatas. And there were a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of miscarriages, which is also a natural thing to happen, certainly with the state of medicine as it was then. But even today, lots and lots of miscarriages, and a lot of times a woman didn't know if when she had a miscarriage, if it was enough of a leida to be mechay of a karban, or if we just view it as if it was a heavy period or something, but it's not yet a real leida. So she would be maybe a karban al safek, and she would have to make a tanai in the ola, that if she's chayiv to bring karbanos, so then this ola should count l'chavasa. And if she's not chayiv, let the ola be l'nedava. But the chatos, you can't do b'nedava, you can't make such a tanai by the chatos. So she wouldn't bring the chatos. What would she do? She would be molek the chatos, sprinkle the dam, and then wait until it becomes possible lina, and then burn it. So since there were so many of these ofos of karbanos ksherim in the Beis HaMikdash, and there were also these ofos of sveikos that you had to wait till they're possible lina, they were afraid that there would be too much of a mix-up. All the real yoldos and the women who were mesupach with the real yoldos, so there would be too much of a mix-up. They were too likely to mix up the birds, so they had to designate a special location for these birds that were a safek that needed to go through psulina in order to then become absolutely possible and be yotzei lebeis hasreifa. That's how the Tiferes Yisrael explains why they had such a location, such a spot for the psulei chatas ha'ov. Okay, Mishnah Dalet. So the halacha is, the Torah tells us that when you build a mizbeach, it should be a mizbeach avanim lo sanif aleim barzel. That you're not allowed to have barzel that cuts any of the stones. You need avanim shleimos tivnas mizbeach Hashem Elokecha. That's a pasuk Dvarim Chav Zayin. So there are two dinim over here. One is that you're not allowed to build the mizbeach with any stones that barzel had come in contact with, and then a second din that you have to build the mizbeach with avanim shleimos, with complete stones that don't have any sort of pegima in them, even if the pegima comes from something other than barzel. These are two separate dinim. That any stone that has come in contact with barzel, even if it didn't make a pegima, and any stone that has a pegima, even if that pegima was not from barzel. So says the Mishnah, Echad avnei hakevesh, v'echad avnei hamizbeach. Both the stones that went to making the ramp of the mizbeach, as well as the stones that went to making the mizbeach itself, mibikas beis kerem, they would come from a place called Bikas Beis Kerem, which had very smooth stones, the chofrin, and they would dig into the ground using wooden shovels, lematami besula, underneath land that was never touched before, umavin, because they had to make sure that the stones that they were pulling up from this ground never came in contact with barzel. So they'd have to go to untilled land, and they would have to use wooden utensils in order to dig, because if they were digging with metal, they might smack the barzel with it. They might smack the stones with it. Umavin mishama avanim shleimos shalohunav aleim barzel. They would then bring full, complete stones that never had barzel on them, shar barzel. Postal binagia, barzel would possibly, even if just touching, even if it's not pogim anything, upegima becholdover, and pegima would be a problem with anything, even if it wasn't barzel. The shear of a pegima is very very small. The Gemara Chulin tells us it's chagiras hatziporin, whatever. It's like the shear pegima in a sakin shal shchita, that when they check a shchita knife, they run the fingernail along it, and if it catches the fingernail, that's already too much of a pegima. So there can't be any slight pegima. Nifkema achas mehen hipsula v'kulim. If one of the stones that were in the Mizbeach became pogum, then that stone itself is possible, but the other avanim in the Mizbeach are still going to be kosher. And then umalabnos apamayim b'shana, twice a year they would smear it twice a year with sid in order to freshen it up. It's like a new paint job. Echad b'pesach v'echad b'chag. Once on Pesach and once on Sukkot. Ha'heichal pamachas v'ha'heichal pamachas b'pesach. And the heichal they would also smear with sid once a year, but that was only once a year, and that was on Pesach. It wouldn't need to be done twice a year. The Mizbeach had a lot more blood, and also the Kohanim were always touching the Mizbeach. They weren't touching the walls of the heichal all that much. Dafka Pesach. They did it because that's when everyone came to bring the Korban Pesach, so they wanted it to look as beautiful as possible when all the Olei Regalim came to bring the Korban Pesach. When it comes to the Mizbeach, so Sukkot is also an appropriate time for the Mizbeach because everyone would gather for the Simchas Pesach Shueva, for the Nisan Chamayim that would happen on Sukkot. Rabbi Omer, Kol Erev Shabbos Malabin El Sabim Mappa Mepnei Adamim. Rabbi said that it wasn't only twice a year that they would clean it. It was just twice a year they would give it a mamash, a new paint job. But every Erev Shabbos they would wipe it down with some sort of wet cloth in order to freshen it up, in order to clean it up. Look, Kavod Shabbos, you want to so they take the Clorox wipes or whatever and wipe it down in order to just to clean it up. Lo yisodinos bekafim shel barzel. They wouldn't use an iron kli to put the sid on because it might touch the avanim directly in the viyifsal, and that would passel the mizbeach. So obviously they would use some sort of wooden kli to put the sid on the mizbeach. Shem barzel nivra lekatzer yom of shel adam, from mizbeach nivra laharich yom of shel adam. Barzel is mekatzer a person's life, and that's what's its primary function in the bria, and the mizbeach is created to give arichus yamim to a person. And it's not proper that it's like in Kategor Nasa Senegor, the Mepharshim point out that which is mekatzer should come in contact with that which is meant to be ma'arich. So this is a concept that comes up in a number of places. This is the most famous place where it comes up, this idea that ein adin sheyanif ha-ma'arich ha-makatzer eitzal ha-ma'arich, but it comes up in a couple of other places in halacha. The Mishnah Berurah in Archaim Simin Yud Aleph Sivkat Samaral quotes from Magen Avram in the name of the Shlach Kadosh that if a person has to cut the strands of their tzitzis, they should cut it with their teeth and not with a knife. And the Machzor Shekel explains because of Los Sanif Aleim Barzel, because tzitzis also has a school of arichus yamim. The Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Beis tells us that ba'avon tzitzis meisav banim shaladim shem ketanim, that if a person is not careful about tzitzis, it's a very terrible thing about children dying at a young age. So the dafka. There are other reasons. Dafka, the teeth, that there are 32 teeth, which is the same number as the chutz mishabetzitzis, because there are 8 strands on each of the 4 corners. But if it's difficult to cut with your teeth, so the poskim say you should use some other type of metal. Use a scissor made out of kesef or nechoshes or plastic or something like that. Just don't use barzel because of that. Some have a minhag that they burn the ends of the strands with a lighter or something like that. Okay, whatever it is, but you avoid barzel, and that's based on this idea. The other place where it comes up is the Beis Yosef in Simon Kuf Pei. And Aruch Chaim writes that in the name of the Rokeach, that mechasin sakin b'shas birchas hamazon al shem lo sanif aleim barzel, that we cover the knife at the time of birchas hamazon because of lo sanif aleim barzel ein odin shenif hamakatzer al amarich. The shulchan is like a mizbeach, and therefore at the time of birchas hamazon we're highlighting, I guess, in our minds that the shulchan is like a mizbeach, that everything, all this gashmi, all the food that we just ate, we're really dedicating all of this as part of our avodas Hashem. So it's like a mizbeach in that sense. So we keep the mekatzer off of the mizbeach. The other reason, the Shibali Aleket quotes from the Chabar Rabbi Simcha, he says, Shemati Tamacher, that Pamacher Zoye Echon Mevarech Birch Samazon, that the other reason why we covered the knife is because one time someone was benching, Ukshi Gil, the Birch Hasbonu Yerushalayim, and Iskor Chorban Abayis, Loka Chasakin Vitako Bipitino. When he got to Bonu Yerushalayim, and he remembered the Chorban Abayis, he took the knife and he stabbed himself. So we, in order that it shouldn't be too dangerous, we keep the knife off of the table at the time of Birch Samazon. And then the other place where this comes up, in the Beis Yosef in Simon Kuf Nun Aleph, the Orchos Chaim writes in the name of the Tashbitz Katan, that you're not allowed to go into a shul with a sakin aruch, because tefillah is ma'areches yom of shel adam, a sakin is mekatzer yom of shel adam, and therefore you're not supposed to come in with a shul with a weapon whose primary function is to be mekatzer yom of shel adam. So that's a fascinating discussion in contemporary times. What about, I remember when we were learning in yeshiva in Keren B'Yavna, so it was a Hasidic yeshiva. The boys would always come back from the army to come visit yeshiva, so they would always walk through the Beis Medrash with their guns. So, because if they would put down their guns, they'd be court-martialed, so they weren't allowed to just leave them. So in some of the Hasidic yeshivas, they have special gun lockers that the guys coming back should put their guns in, because it's a violation of this halacha of a mekatzer etz al ha'maariv. But for all the posts can say that if you need it for security purposes, then for sure it's mutter. This is something that we're knowing to do, just stam that you don't bring them, but if for security purposes, and of course you can have weapons to protect you. I wrote about this in my second sefer in Siman Vav. But okay, let's go weiter. Mishnah Hey, they had these rings on the floor on the north, to the north of the mizbeach. Shisha sedarim, there were six rows of tabaos shel arba arba, and there were four rings in each row. V'yeshomim arbaot shel sheish. Some say it was four rows running east to west of six rings each, running north to south. And it was in these rings that they shechted the kachim. They were semicircles, these rings, not like not a full circle, because they were kavua bekarka in order to hold the animal's neck down. Besamit mechayim, the place where they would shecht the karbanos and where they would skin the karbanos and where they would take it apart, into pieces. Hayutzvonus on the mizbeach, that was on the north of the mizbeach, to the north of the mizbeach. V'alav shmona amudin anasin, and they had four low pillars. Ravim shel erez, and there were wooden blocks al gabehen that were on top of these low marble pillars. The Tiferes Yisrael writes that these wooden blocks, and these wooden blocks were not attached to the pillars. They were just placed on top of the pillars, because you're not allowed to be mechaber etzim to the binyan ha'azara, as we've already learned, because of l'asit l'chasher kol etzim mizbech Hashem. You're not allowed to have etz b'chlal by the mizbech Hashem, so it couldn't be built into the binyan, so they just had to be placed on top of the marble without being built in. Va'an kol yoshel barzel kavun behen, and they had these iron hooks that were kavua into the wood. U'shlosh esedar mayil kol echad v'echad, and there were three rows of hooks by each of these wooden posts that were on top of the pillars. Shabahem told them mafshitim, and they would hang the animal on those hooks while they were skinning the animal. Al shulchanu shel shayish shebein amudim, and they would skin the animal on these marble tables that were in between these amudim, so that the animal's dead carcass wouldn't be dragging on the ground in between the amudim. That's how Tosas writes. Tosas Maseches Yuma says that these shulchanos are not the same shulchanos that we described that were four amos away from the amudim. These were different shulchanos, just that the animal's body shouldn't drag on the floor. However, Tosos has another day where he says, no, they are the same shulchanos. Either four amos away, so how does it help from the animal's body dragging on the floor? The guf of the behema is four, when fully stretched, is more than four amos, and even though they're four amos away, that's close enough to call it bein ha'amudim. That sounds a little bit difficult. Four amos is pretty big. It's a pretty, some of these animals were very young animals, and they're very small, these little sheep. It's not like they had an abundance of cows that they were shechting in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's a little bit difficult to understand how that would be the case. It sounds like there's got to be some other, like Tosfos' first day, that there has to be some other Shulchan or Shul Barzel that were mamish bein ha'amudim. Okay, now we move on to the Kiyar. HaKiyar haya bein ha'ulam l'mizbeach u'mashuch klapei ha'darim. The Kiyar was between the ulam and the mizbeach, as far as where it was spaced, but it was a little bit further to the south. It wasn't mamish between the ulam and the mizbeach. It was right away when the mizbeach, right past the mizbeach, because you had to get it as close to bein ulam and mizbeach as possible without it being chotzeitz between the ulam and the mizbeach. There had to be a direct line from the ulam to the mizbeach, so the kiyar was just off to the side a little bit. Bein ulam mizbeach esrim shtayim ama mishtayim esrim malos v'yisham. There were 22 amos between the ulam and the mizbeach, and there were 12 steps between the ulam and the mizbeach. So we're going to now explain how these 12 steps took up 22 amos, meaning it took up the entire space. Bein ulam and the mizbeach. So roma lechatzi ama, the height of a step was a half ama. V'shilcha ama, and then the length of the step, each step was a full ama. So ama ama, There were four steps where because each height was only a half an amma, it would go up a total of two amos. Veroved shalosh. And then after having four steps that went up a half an amma and in an amma, up half an amma, in an amma, after four steps like that, there was a platform that was three amos. So that would get you seven amos in already, because each of the four steps was one amma in, plus another three amos of platform. So that's seven amos. And then the next set of four steps, amma amma, each step going up a half an amma, so it would be a height of an additional two amos, but going in four additional amos, verovet shalosh, and then another platform of three amos, so that's another seven amos in, which is a total now of 14 amos in. The Eliona, and then the last set of four steps, amma amma, was also four steps that were altogether reached a height of two amos, half amma each, verovet arba, and over there they had a platform of four amos that reached all the way until the Pesach Ulam, so that's how we got a total of 22 amos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eliona, amma amma, verovet chamesh. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the top steps were an amma, were the four steps would be two amos of height, but the platform was chamesh amos until the Pesach Ulam. It was not only four amos; it was five amos until the Pesach Ulam. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. You have to say that one of the other platforms was less than three amos. Right? We kept saying that it was rovet shalosh, but in order to get the right number, if Rabbi Yehuda is adding an extra amma of platform on the top platform, one of the other platforms must have been smaller. That's the only way to explain Shitas Rabbi Yehuda in terms of fitting in the numbers. Okay, now Mishnah Zayin is going to describe the Ulam, which was the building right before the Heichal. Pischo Shalulam Govo Arboim Amma Varachvo Esrim Amma. That's the correct Yirsa. That it was 40 amos tall and 20 amos wide. The Chamish Maltaraos Shalmila. There were five beams that had images etched into it that were made out of mila. So what's mila? So machlokes rishonim. Bartanur says it's wood from which you get that gall nuts grow on. It's from a gall nut tree. And the Rush writes that it's a min erez, and Tiferes Shaul says no. Yeshom, that it's milas. It's like we're describing the color of the wood, like a reddish silk. So the wood had such a reddish silky color. Okay, but whatever it was very nice wood that hayu al gabav, that was over the Pesach Ulam. So they had these five giant wooden pieces over the Pesach Ulam. Hatachtona odefes al Pesach amma mizeh ve'amma mizeh, and the bottom beam of wood was an amma longer on each side. It went an amma past the Pesach on each side. And then shalemala mimenu odefes aleha amma mizeh ve'amma mizeh, and then the piece of wood on top of that went an amma beyond that on each side, and it kept on going. Nimtzei saliona. So it turned out the top beam was shloshim amma. It was actually 30 amos wide, because you keep adding two amos to each beam. The nidbach shalavanim haya bin kalechad ve'echad, and there was some stone for decoration in between each of these beams. So it had this very impressive look to it. It was a giant doorway to begin with, and then you had this this very impressive structure at the top of the doorway. V'klonosos shel erez, they had beams that were made out of cedar wood. Hayukvud mikasos shalechad lekasos shel ulam, at one end was put into the wall of the Heichal, and the other was in the wall of the Ulam, in order that the walls shouldn't start to cave in, because these are very, very tall walls, and there's nothing holding it on top. And they had these golden chains in the ceiling of the beams of the Ulam, and they reached all the way close to the Karka. Shebehen pirchei kuna olam v'ronas ha'ataros. And the Kohanim, the young Kohanim, would use them to see the Ataros, which are these little golden these golden domes that they made in the chalonos that the Olei Bavel made, that when they were kavu in the chalonos, they were that was the height of the wall of the Heichal, which faced the Ulam, and the Pir Chaykuna would go there in order to see whatever needed fixing in the chalonos. So the Olei Bavel made these ataros. Why? Shenemar, the pasuk says in Zechariah, v'ataros tia l'chelam l'tovia l'idaya l'chein ben Sefania l'zikaron pehech Hashem. By being menadev, these ataros will be a zikaron for them in the Heichal Hashem, that anyone who came to the Heichal and saw them would remember those who donated them l'tova. So that was a good way of them leaving a legacy that everyone would always remember them. There was a golden grapevine by the Pesach of the Heichal, umudal gabe klunasos, and it was supported by posts made out of cedar wood. Call me Shumas Nadev, anyone who gave gold to the Heichal as a Nadava, and he wanted it to be used, Allah O Gargir O Eshkal, they would donate either a leaf or a grape or a cluster, maybe Vitala, but they would bring it and they would hang it on that grapevine. Amar Blazer Rabbi Tzadik Ma'isahaya Nimnul Ashol Shmeyos Kahanim Lefanosa, that it got so heavy, all this gold, that it took 300 Kohanim just to remove the golden grapevine in order to for whatever reason. We shouldn't discuss why in the world they would ever move it. The Gemara in Tamid we just learned the other day tells us that they didn't really need 300 Kohanim. It's just Lashon Guzma. This is one of the cases where we speak Dafka Lashon Guzma. Okay, now we move on to the fourth parak of Maseches Midos. So the Mishnah is going to discuss the doorway of the Heichal itself, how many doors there were and how the doors were positioned. Pischo shel Heichal, the actual entranceway into the Heichal, between the Ulam and the Heichal, Gavo Esrim Amos, was 20 Amos high, Virachbo Eser, was 10 Amos wide. And the thickness of the doorway, meaning it wasn't like our doorposts are usually just like a few inches thick, the thickness of the doorway was actually 6 Amos. So very, very thick doorways. Va'arba d'lasos ha'ilo, and it had 4 doors in the Pesach Heichal. Shtayim b'fnim, v'shtayim b'chutz, because since the thickness of the doorway was like a whole a vestibule like we have over here by the shul, right? Where you have this area in between, so you have 2 sets of double doors. So that's what we're describing. So this is you know, by a shul, the minhag is we do as many things as we can as to make it like a mikdash. But Surah is similar to the Mikdash, so this, so we're Mekayim this as well. They have 2 double doors on the way in. Ushtayim b'chutz, so 2 on the inside and 2 on the outside. Shenamar, because the pasuk describes that in Yecheskel. Ushtayim d'lasos leheichal v'lakodesh hachitzonos neftachos l'tocha Pesach. The outer doorways open in to the thickness of the Pesach, the chazos of Yishol Kosel, and they cover the wall that's in between that's in that vestibule. When you open the door, it then flaps against the wall of the vestibule, and that way it covers it up. Pnimios and the inner ones, niftachos l'tocha bayis, would actually open into the heichal lechazos achar dlasos, and it covered the wall on the other side, on the inside of the heichal. Where you know as it covered when the doors flapped open, so it covered the wall on the inside of the Heichal. Shekolabayis tuach b'zav, because the entire walls of the bayis were lined with gold as soon as we were able to afford that. Chutz me'achar d'lasos, except for the area right behind the doors where they didn't have a tzipoy zav. And in order to make the entire Heichal look like it was mitzupah zav, you'd open the doors all the way. And these golden doors were covering the only area that wasn't actually mitzupah zahav, and that way it looked like the whole room was mitzupah zahav. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'toch ha-pesach ha-yomdos. Rabbi Yehuda says no. These doors were not at the edge of the thickness of the gate. All of the doors, the pnimios that were closer to the heichal and the chitzonios that were closer to the ulam, were b'toch ha-pesach ha-yomdos. And he explains how it worked. Ukamin, meaning they didn't flap in to the Heichal, they opened within themselves. Ukamin itztremita hayu. And itztremita is something that they knew what it was. What it means is that it was a folding door. Like when you have a door that just folds in half, when you open it up like an accordion. So it was a folding door. It was made of two pieces that just folded in half as you opened it. So it didn't flap open. It just it accordioned open. And v'nikpalos lacharein, it folded on itself. So elu shnei amos umechsa ve'elu shnei amos umechsa. So since each door didn't flap, you know, each door was 5 amos when closed. So, but it didn't just open up, so it wouldn't cover 5 amos of each drawer. Wouldn't cover 5 amos of wall. It folded in half when you opened it, so each drawer would only cover 2.5 amos of wall. So if you have, so the inner doors are covering 2.5 amos toward the inside, the outer doors 2.5 amos toward the outside, and that way it would cover the 5 amos in between one and the other. Problem was that there was a there were 6 amos in between one and the other, right? V'chatzi amu mezuzah mikan, v'chatzi amu mezuzah mikan. There was a half an amma from the Ovi Ashar that remained in front of the doors on the outer end, and a half an amma that remained on the inner end as well, because there were 6 amos in between the two doors. Shenemar, and we get this from the pasuk that describes, u'shtayim delosos ledelosos shtayim subat musabos delosos shtayim ledelos echos, u'shtay delosos la'acheres. That each of these delosos, the panimios, and the chitzona was made of two sub doors. One door that was attached from the northern side, and one that from the southern side. And each door would fold in the middle. Okay, Mishnah base. So the Mishnah describes the psachim that were in the kosei heichal and how they would open up the doors of the heichal. Meaning, once we described what the doors looked like, now we would describe opening the doors of the heichal. Ushnei pishpashim hayulo l'shara gadol. There were two small psachim, two small entrance ways by the gate of the heichal, which is called the shar hagadol. Echad b'tzafon ve'echad b'darom. One of these entrance ways was just to the north of it, and the other one was just to the south of it. But they were not in the Shar HaGadol, they were near the Shar HaGadol. They were to the right of and to the left of the Shar HaGadol. Shebedarom lo nichnas adam b'me'olam. The one in the south, no one ever entered that doorway, except for the Kohen Gadol, who would go there to eat the Lechem HaKadshim, Rashi writes in Sefer Yecheskel. But generally, no one ever entered it. And that's what the Navi Yecheskel tells us in his vision of the third Beis HaMikdash. Shenemar v'yomer elai Hashem, Hashar hazeh sagur yiyeh, lo yipaseach, v'ish lo yavobo. It remains closed. No one can ever go there. Ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael, bavo v'hayah sagur. So if that's the way it's going to be in Bayis Shlishi, the assumption is that in Bayis Sheni, which our Masechta is describing, the same is going to be true. And the northern shar, where people would go every morning in order to open up the dlosos of the heichal, would go as follows: Natal samavteach, the kohen would take the key, upasach asapishpash, he'd open the small pesach that was on the northern side, v'nichnas la'atah, he would then enter the room called the ta, which was behind the wall of the heichal, and the northern wall of the heichal, and they would and it was close to the wall of the eastern side of the heichal, umeata, and from the ta he would go a little bit toward the west, and he would turn toward the south and enter into the pesach that was that was in the thickness of the heichal lehechal, and he would go from there into the heichal, and then from there he would open all the delosos of the shar of the heichal. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that the Rabbi Yehuda says that the kohen would not go in to the heichal through the ta, rather betoch ovio shel kosel hayimahalich, after he entered into the pishpesh, after into this side door, he would go into the thickness that was between the ovia kosel, and over there he would go ad shenimsa omid bin shnei sha'arim, until he got to the doors and he was standing between the two gates of the sharei heichal. Upasach hachitzonos mi bifnim v'sapnimios mi bachutz. So now he's in between these two sets of double doors, so he's in the vestibule, and that's where he would unlock both the inner doors and the outer doors from within the vestibule, because the chalal between the two glassos, the panimi, he was inside the outer doors and outside of the inner doors. So in that, from inside there is where he would open all of the doors. So he wouldn't go all the way in and then open it from the inside. He would go in between and open it from the in between. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up with Mishnah Gimel.